as we can take our seats as soon as possible. Amen. I once want to again want to thank all y'all that have made it here this morning, even with the conditions the way they are outside. I want to thank you for pressing in through the snow. Amen. Pressing in through the lies of the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be sharing a real simple message here this morning. Amen. But I purposely have done that. Amen. Because the Lord, I just came back from the mountain there with all the pastors there of the region. And we have a lot of calendar dates. And I'm going to keep repeating this over and over like a broken record, for it can sink in. Amen. And all the big events are going to be held here at our church. So I'm really going to need some new men, new women, and new youth to get on board. You know, to get on board for some of you for the very first time. You love the church. You love, you know, coming, you know, in the praise, the worship, the messages. And you like everything about the church. But you still haven't put your hands to the plow. I'm going to have a sister in the rear table there, the sign-up table there, to take some names, amen, get your name and phone number, and saying, you know what, I want to be obedient to the message that pastor preached, amen, and getting involved, whatever it may be, in a life group, with the worship team, with the street team. There's many avenues that you can be a part of, and know this, I'm going to be speaking on that. You guys got gifts that are meant to be used, amen, for God's glory and God's honor, because God put those gifts there. The devil didn't. God put those gifts there. Amen. So I'm excited here this morning. Amen. I wish we had a packed out service this day, but it is what it is. It's snowing. Amen. And all good things come from above. Amen. So God knows what he's doing. He knows who he has here this morning. Amen. So let's all really listen for all those that didn't make it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of this message, how many know that we're living in hard times right now? Amen. The times in this world are not getting better. They're getting worse. Amen. So I titled the message this morning, End Time Obedience. You want to be used by God, it's going to call for not just obedience, but end time obedience. Big difference than just being obedient when everything's going good. But being obedient to the end times that we're living in. Being obedient unto the Lord while many are falling to the wayside. Being deceived, losing their lives. We need to be men of God, women of God, youth of God in the making. That can grow in maturity to the point of being obedient. Even in the end times that we're living in, even in the darkened times that we're living in, the Bible says to be ready in and out of season. Amen? We're not just supposed to serve when everything's going good. We're supposed to serve when things ain't going good, when things ain't going our way, when we just don't feel it, because we don't go off of feelings. Amen? We go off of faith. So we're going to be needing some men and women and youth that are going to come with that end time obedience. They're not only going to be able to punch and hit, but take a hit. See, in the professional field of boxing, amen, there was some top-notch boxers that were the fastest. They were bad, but they didn't have a chin. They couldn't take a hit. As soon as they would get a hit, they would get knocked out. And then there's some boxers were great boxers, but there were bleeders that would get cut open real quick in the beginning of the fight. And if the cut was at the right place in the blood, they would stop the fight. So, amen, we not only know how to give a hit, because anybody can hit hard when everything's going the right way, when everything's going your way, but can you take a hit? Can you take an end time hit and still be obedient to the calling of the Lord upon your life? Amen. The book of James chapter 2 verse 14. I've been on Abraham for a while now. I'm going to be on Abraham again. Amen. Just pulling little bits, and next week I'm going to be on Abraham also. It was the call of God that had gone to Abraham. But before I get into Abraham, amen, we're going to James 2:14. We've been operating by faith. Those that have been obedient, those that have been doing good, it calls for faith. Because in this end time that we're living in, you're going to have faith. Amen. When you get hit, that God is still with you, that you're not alone. It calls for faith. Amen. The Bible says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? I love this translation, amen. I'm not reading out of NIV no more, amen. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Question mark. We open up with a heavy verse, amen. We're going to need faith. In order to have a growing faith, eventually great faith, you're going to have tested faith. Your faith is going to have to be tested. There's no way around it. Your faith will be tested. When your faith is being tested, it don't mean the enemy's attacking. It don't mean the church is all messed up. It means God is testing your faith. But too many times, because we can't take a hit, all of a sudden we see it as an attack of the enemy. We don't want to serve. We don't want to do this or that because we got hit with disbelief that God cannot see us through where we're currently at right now. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Real powerful question. That last sentence ends up, can that kind of faith save anyone? Amen. Another translation says, faith without works is dead. You can make all these claims in Jesus, but if you ain't walking them, it's dead. I know a few people right now that are fully addicted, and they're out there witnessing on the mountaintop to everybody. All messed up, telling them about the goodness of Jesus right now as I'm speaking to you from our very own church. Yep, speaking to people about the love of Jesus, the greatness of Jesus, saying all the right words, but not walking a bit of it. And the person's like, Jesus can do all things? Oh, I can smell you from here. Right now that are witnessing. And then it gets even weirder. Witnessing more than those that are clean and sober. You go figure. It amazes me. It amazes me, the world that we live in right now. That there's some out there witnessing for Jesus, but cannot walk it. And it ends up with the question, can that kind of faith save anyone? Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. I open up with this verse again. It says, sometimes later, God tested Abraham's faith. Amen? In other words, sometime later he had just come out of one, and sometime here came God again testing his faith. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Verse 2, he gives them the command, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Here we find that the Lord was testing the faith of Abraham. Amen? I put here the Lord would test the faith of Abraham through his hearing. Amen? God called out and Abraham said, here I am. Amen? He would answer, amen, with a hearing faith. Amen? God would speak. Abraham would say, here I am. Amen? And here he was able to be tested, amen, by hearing by faith. Amen? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing. See, another word for the only way you can be tested, your faith can be tested, if the Lord speaks to you. The Lord needs to speak to you. And if the Lord has an assignment for you, he will speak to you. But when he speaks, he's not going to speak and do it the way you want it done, on your time zone and the way you want it done and the group of people you want to use. The Lord's ways and thoughts, the Bible says, are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So here the Bible says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. See, when God speaks to your life, that's good news. That he would want to use a people like you and I. And here God would test the faith of Abraham by speaking into his life. He would test his faith. Amen? His hearing was being tested. His faith was being tested by what he was hearing God say to his life there in verse 2. Amen? So we find out that faith comes by hearing. Not just anything, but hearing the word of the Lord. Amen? When God tests your faith, the only way God can test your faith is to speak to you. It's to speak to you. And here the faith of Abraham was being tested. It wouldn't have been tested if God wouldn't have came around and spoke to him. Abraham would have just been minding his own business that day. But the Bible says sometime later, God circled around and spoke once again unto the life of Abraham. We come to find that Abraham, I put here, did not only hear the call of God there in verse 1, amen, of Genesis chapter 22. Amen? Genesis 22:1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. We come to find out that Abraham did not only hear the call of God, here I am. He did not only hear the call of God, amen, but he also responded by action. I have a question here this morning. How many have heard the call of God upon your life? You have heard the call of God. He has called you out. You have heard the call of God just as Abraham heard when God called. And the reason we know that Abraham heard when God called, he said, here I am. I put here, how many have said, here I am, whatever you want, Lord, before? He calls and he speaks and you say, God, here I am. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. That was my prayer when I first got saved. And I've honored it for 20 years and counting now. I was so happy just from being off addiction that I told the Lord, man, you got all of me, man. Whatever you want, you got me. We've all have heard the call of God many times upon our lives. There's times that he comes around again to reassure that the calling is from him and not from man and not from you. And he'll confirm it with you over and over and over that what you said, here I am to, was from God, hearing from God. But it will always test your faith. Hearing from God and answering the call of God will also always call for sacrifice. It'll always call for sacrifice. So how many have heard the call of God? We all have. I have another question. How many have responded to the call of God? How many have responded to the call of God? We all said, amen. Yeah, God's spoken to me because I'm important. I got a big call upon my life. But what's more important here this day is, have you responded to the call of God? Are you in preparation to the call of God upon your life? Are you doing anything different that says that you have heard the call from God? Are you preparing and equipping yourself to get to the place of not just hearing the call of God, but answering the call of God? But here, the call of God does not only bring change to one's life, but it calls for you to serve. A lot of people get saved in the church, and addiction falls off, their lives get in order, but they're still not serving. See, when God called Abraham, he just didn't call him for Abraham to say, here I am. You know, roll call in school, at least back in my days. They would say, Billy Joe here, here I am. Is Sally Q here? Here I am. We all had to raise. Do they still do it like that? I don't know. I just got a thought. Here I am, God. I'm in church this morning. I'm one of the faithful ones. I didn't let the snow stop me. Here I am. God had an assignment for Abraham. And that's why he called unto his name. And that's why he was testing his faith. He had a call for the life of Abraham that was greater and bigger than the life of Abraham. The call of God will always be greater than who you are on your best day. The call of God that came upon the life of Abraham was to be answered, to serve, to help people, to connect with people. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, I'm challenging you here this day to be a man, a woman, a youth member that, yes, comes in, gets fed, gets strengthened, gets strong, clean and sober, for that you can be used, for you can serve, for you can answer the call and not just hear the call upon your life, but answering the call of God. If God has called you, he will provide everything that you're going to need to answer the call, but it's going to call for your faith to be tested, for your faith to be tested. Let's go to Romans 12, 4 and 5. The Bible says, simple scripture. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. Amen. We got hands, fingers, nose, eyes, our body, our physical, natural body. So it's making a comparison here. So it is with Christ's body. Amen. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Pastor, I really don't like this translation now. If we all belong to each other, that's what the New Living Translation says. We're connected. Amen? We're connected. I got this. I don't even want to look at the notes. I want to take off already. Amen? Have you ever had like a bad hand or something? Your hand gets all messed up and you have a job where you need both hands. Amen? There's some jobs you can get away with just having one hand. But have you ever had your hand hurt, your strong hand? You know, whether you're a lefty or a right-handed. And it's the hand that you use all the time and you really need it for work. And it really makes things much harder when your hand is hurt. Even your strong hand, your hand that is coordinated, is hurt. It slows down everything. It gets in your mind. You get frustrated. You're doing, you know, all this crippled move, and you're trying to use it, and because you take it for granted. You're so used to using your hands working good. See, I can do all this: carpal tunnel surgeries, two surgeries, shoulder surgery replacement, and on, where I was like this, and I couldn't use it. Amen. It made it hard. I thank the Lord for my cordless mic. Amen. I could still preach up here. Amen. But it hinders. It's hard when you got a bad leg, and then all of a sudden your world just takes a change, a shift. You're having every step you're thinking about a leg or something that you took for granted. It was doing good, and it puts a strain on your body when one of the functions of your body parts is not working correctly. Amen? So the Bible makes a comparison, verse 5. It says, so it's with Christ's body. We are many parts. There's many of us here this day. And the Bible says that we all belong to each other. In other words, we all need each other. We don't have time to be fighting with each other. We need each other. As the body of Christ, he has also given us all a function, an assignment, whether you're the hand, the nose, whatever it may be. As the many parts here this morning that make up the body of Christ, we all have a function. We all have a function here this morning. Whether you just got saved, whether you've been saved for years, we all have a function. And just like in the natural body of our many parts that make up our natural body, if your right hand is hurting and you have a labor job that you use it all the time, it hinders and it hurts. And all you can think about is your messed up hand. And if in our natural body, if something is hurting, amen, and it hinders the rest of our body, it's the same in the body of Christ. When a few ain't doing their function, when a few ain't doing the part, we start having a crippled church. It's the many parts that make up the body, and each and every one of us have a function here this morning. I don't care where you've been, what you've done that's been wrong. Christ paid the price for our sins in full. For us to be an operating function in the body of Christ. You have been called to function as one of the many parts that make up the body of Christ. But here, we're all connected and belong to each other. When we don't do our function, our part, the body of Christ, the church, suffers. When we don't do our part. In verse 6, we gotta do our part. We gotta be encouraged here this day. Amen? Verse 6 goes on to say, in his grace, we don't deserve to be a function, to be a part, and have a function in the body of Christ. So verse 6 picks up and says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. For doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability, I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to go into the gifts that they're going to speak of right there. Amen. In his grace, God, I just want you to know this part. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. For doing certain things well. I always use the word top notch. Pastor Nick picked it up. He made a joke out of it last time he was here. You know, your Pedro says top notch. Because he's a leader. He listens. But he don't just listen to me saying it. He's able to see it. Because there's action behind my words. You may feel in your situation that you just can't do anything right here this morning. You just may feel that you just can't get it right no matter how hard you try. You keep messing it up. And you might be right, and that's the way you're feeling. That's the way you're thinking, but that's not what the Word of the Lord says. The Word of the Lord says that God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Be encouraged here this morning that God has placed gifts in your life to do certain things, not all things, certain things well. He's giving you certain things to do things well, certain gifts to do certain things well. I never thought when I got saved that I could ever get anything right in my life. It was for everyone else but me. I was a messed up individual coming to Christ. But as I got saved, amen, I became one of the parts of the body. All of a sudden, there was gifts within my life. Certain things that by getting involved in the church were going to be drawn out of my life to do certain things well. I mean, top-notch well. Even with the past life that I lived, God had placed gifts within my life to do certain things and helping strengthening the body of Christ there in Victor Outreach Salinas. Amen? As you get more involved and you become part of this and part of everything, all of a sudden you start figuring out your gifts. All of a sudden you start gravitating to a certain area. And all of a sudden you find out. But you got to get involved to start finding out what your gifts are, what your power spots at. The certain things that the Scripture speaks about that you've been called to do well, that God has placed within your life. Amen? Jesus, I put here, did not become our sacrifice on the cross just to get us out of Egypt. Amen? Jesus did not become our sacrifice on the cross just to get us out of Egypt. I put in my notes here, AA, NA can get you out of Egypt of addiction. AA and NA can get you out of addiction. Willpower. Willpower can get you clean and sober. It really can. Have you ever heard anybody that God says, you know, I stopped drinking 20 years ago. Really? How'd you do it? How many years you been in the church? No, without Jesus. Just willpower. I did it myself. I didn't want to drink no more and I stopped drinking. Willpower, N-A, A-A, can get you out of Egypt, can get you clean and sober. But there's some things that N-A, N-A, and willpower can't do. It's going to be a short message here this morning. They cannot answer the call of God. enemy cannot get you. I don't care if your name is High Joe and you got a 25-year chip around your neck. Amen? You, with a 25-year chip around your neck of being clean and sober, cannot answer the call of God. AA, Alcohol Anonymous, I don't care how many years you've been going, and you're a sponsor yourself now, cannot get you to the place of answering the call of God upon your life. Willpower can only take you so far for so long. But willpower on its best day cannot and never will be able to answer the call of God. It can't do it. The best AA, NA, willpower can do can get you out of Egypt and leave you somewhere wandering in the wilderness for the rest of your life. The best it can do is get you out of Egypt, living in the wilderness, being a successful businessman, a successful this or that. But willpower, NAAA, cannot get you into the promised land in answering the call of God. AANA, willpower, cannot get you into the blessings of God. It don't work. Genesis 12:1, the call of God would come upon the life of Abraham. He would tell him to leave his country, his native country, your relatives, your fathers, your family, and go to the land that I will show you. Amen? In Genesis 13:2, so many chapters has gone by, he's in the process. And here the call came in Genesis 12:1. The call would come again in Genesis 22:1. And then in 13:2, the Bible records he's in the process. The big test hasn't come yet. We're in Genesis 13:2. And the Bible says at this point of his life that Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He was very rich. And yet, the big test of his faith had not even come yet. That comes, you know, 10, 11 chapters forward in chapter 22. We're in 13. He's in the middle of the process. And within the middle of the process, the Bible says that Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. The majority of people in the day and age that we live in, the majority of people in the day and age in the church that we live in, after getting rich, would have parked it right there. Would have parked it right there. Skip being tested. I'm rich. I got livestock. I got silver. I got gold. I don't need to answer the call of God no more. I don't need to be tested by my faith anymore. I'm a rich man. I'm a rich sister now. See, for the majority in the time that we're living in right now, they would have stopped pursuing the call of God upon their life. And that's why sometimes you don't get what you want. Because if you get it before it's time, you will stop pursuing God. You will stop pursuing the call of God upon your life. God knows what he's doing. He knows when to open a door. He knows when to close the doors. Do you trust them? Are you going to allow money to stop you from answering the call of God? Abraham didn't. He could have become complacent right there in chapter 13 and parked it and lived a good life. But one that did not answer the call of God upon his life. Too many of you all going for that money. And money is good, don't get me wrong. But when it's first in your life, it will never allow you to answer the call of God upon your life. God is looking for men and women that he can bless richly with finances that will continue to answer the call. In the end times that we're living in, God is looking for people that he can trust. Even if he was to bless them big time with riches, that he could trust that they would continue to pursue him and seek him and know that money ain't all what it's cut out to be. But too many times we allow money to be our God. Genesis 13:2 says that Abraham was very rich. I put here in my notes, most people would have just have stopped with just simply being rich, thinking, I've arrived. Abraham still had a lot of process to take place within his life in answering the call of God and what God wanted to do. God wanted to go way beyond the riches that he allowed Abraham to have. There was something greater that God wanted to accomplish in and through, most importantly, the life of Abraham than allowing him to be rich. In Genesis 22:16-18, the Bible reads that this is what the Lord says. This is what takes place when you allow nothing to stop you from hearing from God, when you allow nothing to stop you from answering the call, instead of just hearing the call and saying, here I am. This is what God wants to do. And he's doing it all over the world through our ministry. Amen? The big test came, 16 picks up. This is what the Lord says. Not your boss, not Pastor Charlie, but what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me. I would love to put there, because you have continued to obey me. Amen? Abraham didn't stop because he had the money and the fame, but that was part of the promise that God spoke to him in 12:1. Amen? This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son. I swear by my name that, 17, I will certainly bless you. How? He was already rich. Amen? 10 chapters back, he was already rich. But this is how the Lord really wanted to bless the life of Abraham and work through his life. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. It's about the descendants. It's not about your life and my life. It's about our children's life. Making it in this dark and end time world that we're living in. It's about our children's children making it in this end time world that we live in. Abraham would be the promise that God would use, not only to bless us financially, amen, but to bless us with descendants that would also be able to have that same spirit of obedience that Abraham did. End time obedience is the title of the message. The Lord wanted to multiply the descendants of Abraham. I believe if he would have stopped when he had all the money, it wouldn't have taken place. Look how expanded his descendants have become. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, your descendants will conquer the cities of their 18, of their enemies. Wasn't there another verse? Nope. Yep, there is. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth. Look how far God's speaking into and through the life of Abraham. Not talking about money no more. Because it's never been about money. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. You can say, well, I'm here through the obedience of Abraham. Because he didn't stop at the riches. His obedience and sacrifice and giving his only begotten son allowed him on obedience to multiply in descendants. Pastor Sonny, our founder, it was taken East LA for Jesus 50 years ago. Ex-heroin addict from New York. Amen? Taking East LA for Jesus. But he heard from God. The call of God would come upon his life as it came upon the life of Abraham. And he was big time with Nicky Cruz flying the world as an evangelist. But the call of God came. And he did not allow the fame and the money, TBN. He kicked off TBN. Pastor Sonny was with TBN when it first started. They had a big show on TBN where they wanted him to run the whole show in TBN. But he says, no, that's not what God has called me to do. God has not called me to be on every TV all around the world. He's called me to be in person in every city around the world. It's the calling upon our lives that we have here from the obedience of Abraham that was able to be channeled to the obedience of our founder and Sister Julie. And because of their obedience and not wavering and doing it the hard way but the right way, without finances but with faith, with obedience, we have now, through his obedience, Abraham's, Pastor Sonny's, we now have descendants all over the world in over 30 countries right now because of obedience to the call of God that was not detoured by riches of this world, but by the treasures out of darkness of this world. What's the focus, the lost and the bound? We cannot get caught up in the treasures of money, but treasures out of darkness in the lives of people, in the souls that are dying right now. We cannot get tripped up, confused, and go after money. The seashores and the stars and the sands of the sea that you would not even be able to count represents you and I. We're part of that sand and that seashore that God was speaking into the life of Abraham for being obedient. And not stopping because of the provision. Too many pastors get caught off balance when the provision starts coming in because God will always provide for the work. But we cannot allow the provision to stop us. It's got to be something that allows us to go forward, the provision of Christ, and answering the call of God. We got to be careful because we're living in end times. If you think you can't be caught slipping, you better be careful and you better think it over. When the call of God comes, it's a serious call. It's from God. He ain't playing around. We're living in end times right now. Amen? It was way beyond Abraham having riches. Abraham continued. There was a bigger faith than what finance was able to do in his life. There was a bigger faith than what money was able to do. But here, the call of God is able to do what money can't. I have more, but that I'm going to end it right there. Too many times we go after this money and we go after this money and we're going after big goals, running the school and all this for the finances, but it's to fuel us. It's to fuel us. And taking this city of Milwaukee is to fuel us and taking this region for the glory and honor of Jesus is to fuel us to be internationally all over the world. As adults, as parents, we need to take this serious. It's about our descendants getting it right and keeping it right in obedience to the call of God, even when times get hard, because we're living in end time, darkened times. It's going to get hard. But the call of God is greater than any hard thing you'll ever go through. The call of God will see you through the hard times. But too many times we get stuck in the hard times, or we get stuck in the financial department. And we stop in pursuing. We allow hard times to allow us to stop pursuing God, spending time with God because of hard times. We didn't allow hard times to stop us when we were in the world. But now we allow hard times to stop us. And God just got to wait for us until we start marching again. He's just supposed to wait. The person that's about to kill themselves right now is going to say, I got to wait. Yeah, brother such and such, yeah. Sister such and such, yeah, in that Victory Outreach Church. I got to wait. Man, I got to wait. Cut the wrist. I got to wait. Got to wait. They're not ready. They're not ready to save me. Got to wait. And we all know that death does not wait. What are you allowing to stop you here this morning? What are you allowing to stop you here this morning? Because the plan of God, the call of God, is so much greater than what's stopping you right now. I'm not just giving a Bible study. I have walked what I'm preaching right now. I have not allowed none of these hard times to stop me. Have they been hard? Yes, they have. But I've learned so much from them. We can't stop at the job. We can't stop because we're clean and sober now. We got to fulfill the call of God upon our lives. We just can't get out of Egypt. We got to get into the promises of God. Amen? And I'm challenging you now, each and every one of y'all, we need your help right now. Anything you say why you can't, I'm sorry to pop your little bubble right now, is an excuse. It's an excuse. I came in, tore up on the floor, I'm straight out of prison coming into Victor Outreach. I was at the altar. I was broken. I was giving my life. I was broke. Every service, I didn't miss one. And I had 1,000, gazillion, trillion issues in my life. I just continued to come, and I started getting involved. And slowly but surely, man, God started bringing the gifts out. Slowly but surely, he started, you know, filing down them rough edges, putting it lightly. Amen? I got here because of faith. I got here where I'm at right now because the call of God is greater than anything I've ever gone through or the finances that have come to this church. Amen? We need to be faithful. We're living in end times. There ain't no time for slipping around and horse playing around and thinking, you know, God's grace. Yeah, God's grace. But don't turn it into a cheap grace that he's got to stop what he's doing because you have stopped. Amen? I need men, women, and youth right now getting involved in the church. You love coming. You love the messages, the praise, and the worship. It's time that we have heard the call, just like Abraham heard it in verse 1. But the Bible goes on to say in verse 3 that immediately the next morning he got up early. And he started getting the donkey, the wood, and everything that was needed for the sacrifice. Immediately. He responded. He did not just hear the call of God. He responded, verse 3 says. He got up early the next morning. Too many hearing the call of God and not answering the call of God. And here this day, God is here. God is here, and he's going to be using our church in a mighty powerful way this year. I need you guys hands to the plow, even if you don't know nothing. We all start off knowing nothing in the spiritual things of God. Amen. Nobody walks in that has never been saved before and got it all put together when it comes to the call of God. That's why there's an Egypt, a wilderness, and a promised land. It's a process. Amen? As we stand here this beautiful Sunday morning. Yes, I know the call of God is hard, but the call of God is able to also able to see through anything that's hard. Then apart from the call of God, you ain't gonna make it in this world. Yes, the call of God may be hard, but apart from the call of God, you ain't gonna make it. It's the call of God that looks hard. It's what's actually gonna see you through the hard times, the call of God. Your faith has to get to that place. That it's the call of God that's going to see through. It's the obedience of Noah that got in the ark. That built the ark. That saved him and his family. What seems hard is what's going to see you through. And too many times we try to dodge the hard times in Christ. We try to dodge the hard times in Christ. When it's the hard times that's going to see you through in answering the call and reaching your promised land and having descendants, leaving a legacy behind of why some that got to the promised land, got to heaven, amen. That's another thing NA and AA and willpower can do. NA and AA and willpower cannot get you to heaven. So it gets you clean, sober, but it'll never get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. That's through being saved. Got to take it seriously, hear the message this morning, because it's the truth of the gospel. It's good news. Faith comes by hearing. This translation says the good news of the gospel. I ain't giving bad news this morning. Might be bad news to your addiction. But who really wants to stay addicted? And I would say, if you want to stay, get addicted to Jesus. Be a 24/7 brother in the church. Be a 24/7 sister in the church. Become addicted to what Christ has for your life. The call of God is addicting. It brings influence to see others through. It draws others. But what good is faith with no action? What good are you for somebody else here this day if you were just to hear the call of God, the message that has been preached, and just go home and watch the Super Bowl, pop a beer or two, get a cigarette going? What good is the message? What good is the good news in this end time bad news world that we live in? Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Ouch, 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 Pastor Hombre. Leave me alone. It's not me. It's the call of God. You'll thank me later. It's the call of God. It's what's going to see you through. It's what's going to fill that void in your life. It's what's going to take care of all that mess you're in right now. The call of God calls for men and women in you to fix your eyes on Jesus. It gets your eyes off of the things that the sinking world is going through. The call of God. The call of God has called out to you this day. Are you going to respond to the call of God? Are you going to respond to the call of God? Because I'm recruiting right now. Are you going to respond to the call of God? Or are you just going to be one of those that heard the call of God? I challenge you here this morning from my heart. I challenge you to answer the call. answering call involves getting involved. I need a sister in that back table right now. So I better see some people sign up. They're going to sign up for the army of God right now. We're recruiting right now. Got to wake up, answer the call, get your breakthrough. It comes by answering the call of God. Whatever the song is, I'm going to open up the altar. Important service right now. Important service.